from 2 Corinthians. Four important lessons. When we think of the work of God and the local church, and when the local church is reaching out to people that have not known him, some may have rejected them. I believe this book of 2 Corinthians has many things to teach us about how to minister. And the first thing, and the base, is that we are changed by Christ. Some believers want to point to a past mistake or a sinful season that renders them useless. And we see this a lot because many of them come from very tough lives. And their thought is, how can God use me after I've, and you name it. But again, when we go to the verse in 2 Corinthians 5, Paul reminds us of this clear message. And we know this verse by memory. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away, and look, new things have come. New creature. Old state is changed. Was a child of Satan, is now a child of God. Was a slave of sin and works, were death, now made free from sin and has fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. I'm going to read the words of a dear brother, and he puts it this way, talking about this verse. He was before full of pride and wrath. He is now meek and humble. He formerly had his portion in this life and lived for this world alone. He now has God for his portion, and he looks not at the things which are seen, but are at the things which are eternal. Therefore, all things are passed away. Anywhere and any moment where true repentance has taken place, we have a new nature and a new direction. This helps, this message. We could talk for 40 minutes about this. Is encouraging for those that come to the Lord and are new Christians. But I believe it is good for us also to be reminded of this truth. But I want to share you a second important lesson from 2 Corinthians. We've seen we are changed by Christ. Now we are competent in Christ. In chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And Paul made this clear. It is not that we are competent in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our competence is from God. He has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant. So it's not our talent, charisma, dynamic personality that makes us effective in ministry. It's the power of Christ in us. And all, not just a few privileged, all of us who know Christ have the power through the Holy Spirit to bless others. So we do not arrogate to ourselves any power to enlighten the mind or change the heart of anybody. We are only instruments in the hand of God. God has made us competent to be ministers. And this would be another message for 40 minutes. But we are going to go to the third point. We are confident in Christ. All of us are weak vessels. We read in chapter 4, verse 7, and Paul stated that we have this treasure in clay jars so that this extraordinary power may be from God and not from us. Beautiful words. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. God keeps us continually dependent upon himself. We have nothing but what we have received. And we receive every necessary supply just when it is necessary. And have nothing at our own command. So the good therefore that is done in so evidently from the power of God that none can pretend to share the glory with him at any moment. We dare not. His is the glory, and it's his power. We are fragile and we are weak. But God has given us the power through the Holy Spirit to be able to bless and serve others. Even in specific weaknesses that you and I may have, burden, pain, or difficulties, Paul reminds us in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, verse 9, the Lord's grace is sufficient, for his power is perfected in weakness. So the weaker the instrument God uses, the more the power of his grace shall be manifested. And that's wonderful. When we see God doing things, we cannot abrogate and say, oh, I did this or that. We're just instruments. The glory is to him because of his power that is perfected in our weakness. So we are changed by Christ. We are competent in Christ. We are confident in Christ. And the fourth lesson that we learn is that we are compelled by Christ. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we are ambassadors of Christ. We have the best news a lost world can hear. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us. We read in verse 21, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Verses before, verses 14 and 15, remind us that the love of Christ compels or constrains us, because we judge this, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. The love of Christ compels, constrains us. May this be the reality and the experience of our lives. We have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, and this causes us to love God and to love God intensely. And to love the people of God intensely because what Christ has done in them. And to love intensely those who are lost and need Christ as Savior. May these little thoughts of 2 Corinthians encourage us. And also challenge us in these times that we're living. And that the glory of God may be known among many. Let's pray. We are thankful, Lord, for this time. Thanks for the work that you're doing in Uruguay. Thanks for the unity among the assemblies. We pray that you will preserve this for your glory and honor. And we also pray that you will give wisdom to the elders, missionaries, deacons from the different assemblies in the country. And that you would give them strength. We also pray, Lord, for your church here at Riverview, that you would bless them, guide them, protect them, and allow them to see the blessings that come from you and lives that come to you in repentance for salvation and sanctification in their lives. We give you thanks for these words of encouragement that we've read from Paul. And we pray your blessing over us all. In Jesus' name, amen.